Welcome back. I'm Silva Harapetian. You are listening to and watching the Silva Harapetian Show with Aaron Renfrew. So he's the author of Turning Point.
You've probably seen me say it before, where I don't really love the word vulnerability, because at some point, to me, there's power in it. I no longer feel vulnerable to attack, right? So I turn it into power. And so this is my power. It's my way of helping other people, not a vulnerability for me anymore, right? So that, seeing someone do that, allowed me to really internalize that this is possible. That was the turning point in terms of knowing what was possible and kind of understanding the power that there is in your message, in coming out with that, but doing it in a very confident way, no longer allowing it to control you, but you controlling the message, weaponize it, can help other people. You know what I mean? Like, very different mindset around it, right? It's just full-on acceptance, full-on humility around the problem, and a full release of guilt, all the shame, nothing there except acceptance and gratitude that it actually happened and you're able to use it to help somebody else. When I got to that point, that's when I wrote the book, because I realized, like, other people need to be able to do this, because it's just all the power is in being able to share the message to help someone else. And if you, once you're able to get through your own guilt, shame, and remorse around an issue, you can use your issue as power. And yeah. I think a lot of people miss it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not telling you who is watching and listening, or we're not telling you to, you know, put your business out there. That's not what this conversation is about. This conversation is about knowing that there is power in owning your story. There is healing in speaking your truth. There is power in talking about the things that are real for you and your experiences in order to acknowledge them to yourself, and in order for you to level up to a whole other level of yourself. I mean, you can't level up as a human if you actually don't do some of this work. And it looks different for everybody. You know, for Aaron, it was writing a book and publicly talking about it. For me, gosh, nobody can shut me up, right? So I am constantly vocal about everything that has happened in my life, because I think I know the power in our stories. I know the power in my stories. So if I share a bit of information that helps someone go, wow, I see a little bit of myself in this journey, and there is opportunity and light at the end of the tunnel, and that I can survive this, that's the goal. But in reality, it's a truly difficult journey to be on. And part of the reason I talk about these things so much and bring on guests like Aaron to talk about these things is because I also am Armenian. I live in a minority community. I am an immigrant, and I watch people around me about, you know, there's stigma around who we are. There's stigma around how we move as women. There's stigma about sex. There's stigma about abuse in the past. There's stigma about, you know, domestic violence. There's stigma about everything. There's even stigma around who had COVID and who didn't. And right? So yeah. It is important to realize that if you want to live a life that is somewhat rooted in power, you have to take your power back from the things that happen around you to you because of other people. And you have to own your own story and write your own narrative. So anyway, this is for the listeners who are like, how does this apply to me? It applies to everybody. Your story is valid no matter how severe, how extreme, how deep, how shallow, whatever it is, it's yours and it matters. Aaron, I want to talk a little bit about, I mean, you've done so many cool things in your life, okay? Like the transformation you went through from being who you were, addicted and on the brink of suicide, to turning your life around. There's before and after pictures. If you're listening, I highly recommend you go watch this video on YouTube, and you can see the before and after photos of Aaron. And also from that point forward, you've done a lot of traveling, a lot of work on yourself, and investing time in building yourself up. And part of what you love to do is go to some really interesting and unique places. And that has led to you actually becoming an adventure coach. What is an adventure coach?
I was working with and coaching executives and working with executives in the workplace. And I really didn't like that. To me, it was very sterile. And so, you know, most of the time in developing restaurants and things like that, and working and building teams in the businesses that I used to be in, I would constantly be in a situation where I was trying to coach an individual who would go from completely nuts, checking emails on the phone, texting, and then they'd sit down with me for 1 hour. And then the second I get up, they're back to whatever they're doing. And I wanted something with more depth. I wanted to approach with more depth.
Can you tell our listeners and viewers, what does an adventure coach do?
Sure. So for an example, my most recent trip, I went to Big Bend, which is in the desert of South Texas. So high mountain desert, South Texas, and did a trek, 5 nights, 6 days, with an individual, you know, who was struggling and wanted to get out of and change his life. He wanted to get out of the messes and change his entire life, right? So his sister hired me to come and take him on an adventure trek. And every day we work on personal development, growth, mindfulness, you know, health and wellness. Obviously, there's a lot of fitness going on during the trek. It's incredibly challenging. But the real benefit here is you're kind of pulled away from everything that is your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And my experience is that with adventure coaching, when someone is pulled well outside their comfort zone, they're much more adaptable. They're much more willing to change, and they're very open. And a huge component of any type of change is being, number one, honest with yourself, but having a willingness and an open-mindedness to actually enact the change and absorb it. And so I found that when I was able to work with someone for 3 or 4 days in a row, way outside of our comfort zone, where they didn't just jump right back into work or back into emails and the, you know, the noise of everyday life, they made dramatic changes. And so instead of working with someone for 6 months, 1 hour every couple of weeks, to me it makes a lot more sense to do 4-day intensive, like life-changing experience. And then, you know, you're coming back with a set plan for your life, not just really slow incremental growth. I always found it was 2 steps forward and 1 step back with slow incremental growth. Adventure coaching is really for, you know, bold change. Like, I want to go in a new direction kind of thing.
Right. I'm stuck. I'm paralyzed. I need to go. So it's funny we talk about this because, you know, in 2019, gosh, it feels like so long ago. In 2019, I found myself in that situation, right? I found myself paralyzed and stuck and not knowing what to do or where to go. And I know just from my own experience and my own life, anytime that I've had to make a drastic and dramatic change, obviously you don't want to do it because you're human and you always revert back to the comfort zone. The only way to actually turn the ship around is like commit to turning the ship around. And the way I did that is I bought a one-way ticket to Europe. I don't know if you remember or not, but was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to put myself in uncharted territory, unfamiliar places without a plan. And I know myself well enough that I'll figure it out. But that jolts and bolts the system into creating new environment, creating a new environment, creates new habits, creates new ways of thinking. It almost like fires a whole other section of your brain, right? I don't know what the neurology is behind it, but it actually works. When you change your environment, there is a significant change that happens with that. So if you're ever feeling like you're stuck and you can't mentally make a change, you may want to, one of the things that a lot of people recommend, and I know this probably has something to do with your adventure coaching too, is that changing your environment is one of the ways to actually really create change, right?
Yeah, of course. And look, I call it getting outside your comfort zone, but in reality, you mentioned the neuroscience. To me, when people are stuck inside their comfort zone for very long, like for long periods of time, and right now people have been stuck in their comfort zone for a long time, right? But the longer you're in there, the more fearful you become of the outside world, right? The more fearful you become of things that don't even exist, these scenarios you run in your mind, these things that, you know, you worry about intensify.
Right.
And when you're able to travel, get outside yourself, do something exciting like a one-way trip to Europe, everything becomes expanded, right? So it's not just you're outside your comfort zone. It's like, okay, I actually have to have faith that things are going to work out. And you see more colors, like you hear better, your senses become awakened, right? Your smells, everything changes, right? So it's not just a small change. Whereas if you're stuck, in your comfort zone all the time, you succumb to, the itty bitty shitty committee in the head, and it will talk to you and tell you things that are just not true. When you're out adventuring, exploring, you're in a profound state of presence almost the entire time, especially like out in nature, walking through a city or walking through Paris or whatever. You are fully immersed in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to be in the moment when you're deep inside your comfort zone sitting on your couch.
Yeah. And another
always going to be outside yourself.
Yeah. Another good way of describing this is, our thoughts are the most powerful thing that happens in our lives, right? Everything starts and ends with our thoughts. And if you find yourself not being able to control your thoughts, I found myself really being challenged, and it's such a sort of vulnerable thing for me to say, because I pride myself on being able to, have control over where my energy is going and where my thoughts are going. But when you go through what I went through and trauma and just something dramatic in your life, sometimes you really can't control where your thoughts are going. And when you are in that space that continuously perpetuates that negative thought pattern, you have to create a situation where that thought pattern is interrupted. And that's exactly, when you said, you see things and colors become, and you have to stay focused. That's exactly what it was. For me, I had to interrupt my thought pattern, my consistent thought pattern that was negative, that was not conducive or productive to my life. So putting myself in a scenario where I have to consistently on a daily basis figure out where I am, what I'm going to do, what language people are speaking, what train do I need to take, right? That forces the interruption of the thought pattern. So that doesn't mean I don't think about the thing that is hurting me or has traumatized me or that I'm going through, but it's less of it.
All of that I agree with. So, to me, you can take it a step further too, right? Like, depending on what you're doing, especially when you come back from creating or crafting your own mission through Europe, whatever it is it entails, you come back with a greater sense of not only individuality, but
confidence,
self-esteem.
Confidence. We said the same thing.
Yes. Come back like feeling like, okay, like I get this a lot from people, right? They're very, they sit there in fear oftentimes. And when you get them outside, I've had people that are just terrified, and I get them out in nature and have them doing crazy stuff, and they're completely fine. And they don't realize that they've been fearing nothing all along. Like, it's all in their head.
Right.
And once they're in the situation, it's fine. So many people resist stepping outside what they're used to. And then the second they step outside what they're used to, they realize, oh, man, this is, like, really not that bad, and I actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Obviously, adventure coaching involves a physical activity, because you're essentially going out into nature, and most of the time there is no phone, no internet, no none of that, and you're hiking or biking or whatever it is that you're doing. There's always some sort of a physical component attached to this. But I know that you are really big on yoga and meditation and sitting still, and talk to me a little bit about the power of that, because that seems to be sort of the opposite of adventure, right? But it does fit into it. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. So, it's kind of in the same breath. So, like, for example, in August, I'm going to do another Peru retreat trek. So the one got canceled last year because of coronavirus. So I'm rescheduling for this August to do the Peru. It's called the Cordillera Whitewash. It's 86 miles, high elevation, very challenging, but when you're doing something like that, you're incredibly grounded in the present. You're light years away from a cell phone or a cell phone tower or the ability to communicate outside of your small group, right? And you have somewhat forced reliance and trust around those who are closest to you. And when you get into a state of presence like that, there is, it's so simple to transition that into doing meditation on the side of a mountain. Because literally all you have to do is sit down and you're already in a state of presence. You do a couple of breaths, and a guided meditation in an atmosphere like that is profound.
How did that trip change you? I never asked you that question. I know you went and you were gone for a while. I saw the incredible pictures. And obviously, if you're listening to this on a podcast or a radio show, I highly recommend you watch this on YouTube, because we are sharing Aaron's pictures and his journey on this interview. It was incredible to watch and sort of be there with you vicariously without actually doing the trek, right? But how did that change you, someone who's already sort of tapped in, sharing, meditating all the time, active?
There's a lot to learn about life through high altitude trekking and trekking in general. Just in the simplicity of it, there's so many lessons that we carry over. And this is like whenever I'm working with someone, we're trekking a mountain. Like, for example, like when you're going up a large mountain, you should try not to like look at the top. You should look at where you're walking and just one step at a time. And then you wind up making it up there pretty fast without all the pain. But if you keep looking up, you're constantly like, oh my God, look how far that is. I can't make it that far. My bag is so heavy. But if you're just looking right in front of you, you don't think like that. It's just different. And it's the same is true of business and, you know, building a business and going through the struggle of everyday life. I think when you do something that is that challenging, you come back with a different idea of what you're actually capable of in other areas of your life. Mm-hmm. Right? So it certainly forced me to widen my horizon as to what I thought adventure coaching could be, as to what I thought my business could be, financially and otherwise. When you do something incredibly challenging and you finish it, right, and then you're like, that really wasn't so bad. What other areas of my life are like that? And it carries over to a lot of what other people and myself would consider unattainables, right? So there are certain things that, and I've struggled with this through my whole life, where I was like, that's maybe for other people, but, you know, I'm never going to be, you know, rich, or I'm never going to be famous, or I'm never going to be this or that. And the fact of the matter is, like, other people have done those things. And so why not me? Why can't I do it? And it's the same. And so if that trek changed me in some way, it certainly helped me with stepping into my ability and into my power and understand, like, everything that I do and everything I try and do is to try and push myself a little bit further as to what my capabilities are, as to new and exciting experiences and what I think is possible for myself, and trying to translate that to other people too when we're doing it together.
Thank you very much for joining us and sharing so much of yourself and your stories and guiding many of us who are challenged with a lot of things during these times, whether it be professional or personal. I hope that somebody out there heard something powerful and helped them sort of have a different perspective on what they're going through. Aaron is accessible and available to everyone. Find him on social media. I will make sure to put all of his links and all of the information you need about his book, about his adventure coaching, about Life Unbound, which is an online course that you can take. So, you know, those of you who are like, well, I don't have the capacity or the ability or the money to do an adventure coaching, there is the option for you to do some of the work right there in your living room at your own capacity and your own pace. So he's made that available to anyone who wants to change their life and level up. So if you have any questions, reach out to him. In the meantime, Aaron, thank you for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sava. Wonderful to see you, as always.
Good to see you, too. And you're listening to the Silva Haropetian Show. I'll see you on the next episode. I'm Silva Haropetian. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.